and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on the item has ended. Proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphones work as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you'll lose your place in the queue. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought in to speak on an issue before any remote delegates. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate you wish to speak, and I will bring members in once all those in the chamber have spoken. Instant messages should be kept to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, type C for a comment, type P if you wish to propose, type S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they make at the meeting. We'll go to number one. Have we any apologies? Just here. Councillor Devlin. Okay. Just under Chairman's remarks, so I'm delighted to welcome Claire Archibald, Jane McCarthy and Philip French from the Executive Office to this evening's committee, who we will hear from shortly, on ending violence against women and girls. I'd also like to say a huge thanks to Council officers who have been working really hard in the background, in particular Gary Scott, for keeping me updated and making the topic of ending violence against women and girls a priority since my motion in January of this year, where I had proposed at full council as follows. This council upholds its commitment to ending violence against women and girls, reaffirms that violence, abuse and harm against women and girls cuts across all generations and communities, calls for the delivery of a fully funded strategy to end violence against women and girls, and commits to instituting November 25th as elimination of a violence against women and girls day across the district, with a series of events to help educate, raise awareness and end this abhorrent humanitarian abuse. I believe Council has been working very hard to deliver on this topic with support from the Executive Office. There will be a campaign launch with a number of information sessions, providing necessary support or signposting in association with all relevant agencies. And I thank all and look forward to working with those involved in making this motion become a reality. I don't think that we can stress the reality enough. In just 4 years, 24 women have been killed in Northern Ireland. That is a tragic statistic and should force all of us to do some soul searching and how we want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be in a position where in 4 years' time we see these figures replicated. I don't want that for women and girls in my life, and I know nobody here wants to see that either. We absolutely must do better. So we're moving on to item number two. Any declarations of interest?
No.
And number three, where we have the presentation for ending violence against women and girls strategy. We'll hand over to yourselves.
Right. Thank you very much indeed, Councillor, and I'm very grateful to you for the motion that you've brought and for inviting us here today. My name is Claire Archibald. With me are my colleagues, Jane McCarthy, our Head of Communications and Campaigns, and Fionnuala French, who's our Head of Grants, and we'd like to talk to you about, just very quickly, what the strategy is. There are copies outside if anybody would like to take one, and also copies of our delivery plan. Before I start, I'd just like to say, we'll speak for about 10 minutes. This is a very sensitive subject. We all know someone who has been affected, and some of us may have been affected ourselves. If you find that the discussion triggers something for you, there is a quiet space for you to go to. All you need to do is slip out, speak to Gary Scott. He'll take it from there. And we can also signpost you to other services. So please don't feel that you have to stay if you find that it's difficult. Of course, you may also just fancy another cup of tea, and that's fine as well. We're not proud. But moving on to talk about the framework, I must say it is so much nicer speaking to you in the room. When we spoke to Armagh Banbridge and Craigavon, I was getting over a bout of food poisoning and was allowed to attend remotely. And the way that their system works, I'm not sure you're the same. You were working blind. You couldn't see who was talking to you. You didn't know where the next question was coming from. It wasn't ideal. It's lovely to be here with you this evening. So we are, you'll see that there's a tiny little timeline there, which takes us from the start of our work with a call for views, a co-design process, development of a framework, testing it in public consultation, where over 90% were in favour of what our co-design partners had recommended. And you'll see as well, in tiny writing, for which I can only apologise, some statistics. 4 in 5 victims of sexual offences in 22-23 were female. 75% of girls aged 16 who we spoke to in the Young Life and Times survey had experienced street harassment at least once in their lives. 1 in 2 girls aged 16 had received unwanted intimate photos at least once in their lifetime. I want to acknowledge that we don't have enough good data, but also that for many of us, it's the stories of women we know, the stories of girls we know, not the statistics, which are the call to action that we want to heed in our own lives as a council and as a society. The vision which our co-design partners developed was a changed society where women and girls are free from all forms of gender-based violence, abuse and harm, including the attitudes, systems and structural inequalities that cause them. Now, we found the gender-based violence pyramid a useful way of thinking about the change that we want to bring. Some of our partners talked about what is your theory of change, and I think this is our theory of change, that the criminal offences which are at the top of the pyramid of violence are the things that here we have been working very hard to try to tackle. But we are not going to make the number of offences any smaller unless we tackle the unwanted behaviours, the catcalling, the sexist jokes, the things which are now criminal, the downblousing, the upskirting, the following women, the touching women, that create an atmosphere where those criminal offences can flourish. And down below those are the damaging attitudes and beliefs that we are all subject to, that we all grew up with, and the systemic inequalities and damaging social norms that lie beneath them. It's almost like a reverse game of Jenga. Unless we take the bricks out from lower down the pyramid, we are never going to pull the pyramid down. And that's why our focus is prevention. And it's also why our first focus is funding local grassroots organisations and the community and voluntary sector in partnership with our local councils, if you are content to do that. We have 6 priorities in the framework, which I know you're all going to rush out afterwards and get a copy of, if you haven't already read it online, which I'm sure many of you have. 3 of those are in prevention, because that's where we think there is most work to do. You'll see them there, I don't need to read them out, but those changed attitudes right across society that we get to by campaigning, healthy, respectful relationships that we want everybody to have the skills to enjoy, boys, girls, men and women. And also the action that public authorities and private bodies can take to make sure that women and girls are safe and feel safe everywhere, online, in public space, in council buildings, in their own homes. Protection and provision then, those quality frontline services for people who have already suffered harm. A justice system which has the confidence of everyone, which really serves victims and which has the trust of the public, which rehabilitates offenders, and working better together, What we need is a whole of society, whole of government approach. And that's another reason why we are privileged and excited to be able to work with local government in this. Our first delivery plan has a focus on prevention. It has a focus on early intervention. I draw your attention as well to the domestic and sexual abuse strategy, which we try to work in lockstep with. And that's where those criminal justice interventions and court interventions and services for victims and survivors also sits. Our first three priorities are community investment, which includes the change fund that I'm going to talk about this evening. Collaboration and innovation. Collaboration across sectors, including education, nighttime economy, workplace, further and higher education. And that's just the first tranche. We want to move into an area and help them to see the key activities that they can get involved in and then move on to the next area and so gradually spread the message right across society. And finally, but importantly, as you know yourselves, communications and campaigns, which we want to join on. But before I talk about that, I'd like to speak to you about the Change Fund. This is a fundamental part of delivering our prevention work. You see our three objectives there. There are two vehicles. The first is a local grant scheme, which we would like to work with you on. Funding for grassroots community groups to do more by building on existing initiatives to end violence against women and girls or developing new approaches, providing people and communities with support to achieve change. We're working with all councils to establish the mechanisms to deliver the grant funding, and we anticipate that we will be able to start delivery from April 2025. Our initial plan is in a test and learn phase, which is for 16 months. If this works, and we very much hope it will, and we see no reason why it wouldn't, we would want to continue that and to build upon it in partnership with councils for the full 7 years of the strategy. And the second strand is a regional grant scheme, which would support the regional community and voluntary sector expert organisations to deliver more of the tried and tested prevention-based training and other activities that they are so good at. So those are the two strands. While the first strand, the local grant stream, is being established, we hope that a momentum fund will provide opportunity to take immediate action on the ground in each local council area in this financial year, in anticipation of being able to apply for the local change fund. That would provide funding to support communities, not least to build capacity to be better prepared to take part in the local grant scheme, so to help women and girls facing violence against women and girls issues, and to support men and boys to equip them to understand what the problem is and how they can play their part in preventing it. I'd like to speak briefly about our other two priorities, campaigns and collaboration. So campaigns will be absolutely key to getting our message across society and keeping the issue front of mind. You'll see two examples of a campaign that we hope will be starting early in the new year. The other partners in it are Department of Justice and PSNI. It's aimed primarily at men and boys, and it's asking people to reflect on their behaviour. Have they crossed the line? Are they going too far? And to think about what they can do as active bystanders to set a tone and to challenge that behaviour that's further down the pyramid that may happen in the locker room or the pub or on the WhatsApp group. Our young people, we have young people's forums, and they work with us in getting the language right, because clearly this language is language that they have suggested to us and that we hope will resonate with young people. In addition, our working better together and our collaboration, we have a challenge fund where we have asked businesses to come up with innovative ideas to help women and girls to be safe and to feel safe online and in the rest of their lives. And we're hoping to make an announcement about the successful and very innovative ideas that have come through that very soon. We know that this that the campaign that we've shown you there will serve as a call to action to challenge unwanted attitudes and behaviours. And we'd like to see it supported by Council. We can provide materials and social media and other assets to help with that. I'd like to pay tribute to the work that you're already doing and the work that Gary does, including social media campaigns, workplace policy development, community training delivery. We look forward to working together with you and supporting each other's campaigns. In the next few months, we're going to be doing another campaign on coercive control, working with partners in Ulster University and the community and voluntary sector, and again, to provide opportunities for people, and particularly for women, to reflect on what coercive control looks like, not just in general, because I think people know what it looks like in general, but to identify it in their lives and to see if there's a red flag that means that they should have a think about what's happening in their life. This year, ending violence against women and girls is a priority in the programme for government. That's under discussion at the moment. Approval of the programme, it's been out to public consultation. The important things about this are priority and visibility. I think that the three levers that you have at the centre of government to different extents are knowledge, you have the power to hold people accountable, and you have the power to give leadership, and you sometimes have the power to give money. And we have a little bit of money, and we hope that in future there will be more. But priority and visibility, leadership, accountability, and a focus on violence against women and girls throughout government, those are the things that our inclusion and programme for government brings. Working together is absolutely vital. We hope that local government will not want to only support us in terms of the change fund, but also in building elements of ending violence against women and girls into everything that you do, and seeing it as part of the DNA of how local government operates. We want to hear about the other work that you know about happening across council and in communities that we can support to ensure the emphasis on joined up working. And we see that in Gary's role in safeguarding, he has already delivered so much. So thinking about workplace policies, because the council is an employer, thinking about your collaboration with the grassroots groups in the community and voluntary sector, thinking about the initiatives you support, the awareness campaigns and the education that you can provide. We're happy to take any questions, and we'll just leave you with one of the taglines for our campaign. There's something all of us can do. Strategy is a blueprint. Where do you see yourselves in it? Yeah.
Thank you very much for that presentation there. I'm still struggling to speak at the minute because this topic is very close to my heart. But if there's any questions, Councillor Finnegan.
Thank you, and thanks so much for your presentation. I'm interested in your concept, or certainly in your thoughts. You've spoken about collaboration and working together, which is so important. But of late, certainly within my own work, it's disheartening to witness how often right messages are articulated by various agencies, yet our criminal justice system continues to fall short in supporting women and girls. I've recently encountered a case involving a woman and her child who are under protection of multiple agencies due to the significant risk they face. However, the Public Prosecution Service and the courts have failed to provide the necessary support, which starkly contradicts the protective measures established by other agencies. Time and again, we see family courts being misused as a weapon against women and children. This form of coercive control is often overlooked and remains unaddressed, leaving vulnerable individuals without the justice and protection they desperately need. It is crucial that we bring the attention to these issues and advocate for the systemic changes to ensure that the voices of women and children are heard and their rights are upheld. What I think is needed is true joined up action to bring the perpetrators of this violence against women and girls brought to justice, to truly protect those that fall victim. I'm just interested in your take on that, because we always seem to, you know, obviously the education system with the Departments of Education and all different agencies for that matter, but the criminal justice system is the one that has fallen down. And what can we do to change that?
The first thing I'd want to say, Councillor, is just to recognise the suffering of so many women and girls, so many families in our communities. What you're saying is very familiar to us from co-design, and we have the justice agencies. We work in close partnership with them. If you look at our delivery plan, has got touch points into some measures to help victims. But we're also working closely in the domestic and sexual abuse strategy, which contains measures which are aimed at supporting victims better, at speeding up the processes, and at providing rehabilitation for offenders and assistance for offenders. Now, that's an ambitious challenge, and I think it's easy to be daunted and go, well, that's not working, that could be working better. We had lived experience, women with lived experience in our co-design process, some of whom were saying, I had a horrendous experience. Some of whom were saying, actually, in my case, my police liaison officer was very good. Or in my case, this thing happened, and actually, that was part of my journey to this getting better for me. As we go out to each different agency to look at their part in it, our role is to coordinate action. We were given a mandate by the executive to coordinate action across government and across society, across sectors, which focused on the root causes. And that's why we thought, you know what, there is this work going on. It has visibility in that it comes up to our oversight board as well as the DSA oversight board. Minister's attention is focused on this. But what are the other things we need to do to stop more people victims? And that's why we have a focus on prevention, because that's the piece where this area of work, there are already things happening. This is the area where, if you like, taking a public health approach, you're not just dealing with the people for whom the problem has already happened, but you're trying to make sure that in future generations it happens to fewer people, that it happens less often, that, you know, that we have the ambitious target of actually ending it.
Councillor Murphy.
No, thanks very much. Very, very comprehensive, you know, and it's just unfortunate I only got reading it, you know, just while I was sitting here, you know, so it's certainly like a wee bit more time to get through it. There's no doubt about it, prevention, you know, is key. But part of prevention, you know, in my experience, is deterrent, you know, so, and this is the difficulty, you know, that I come across. And this is quite recent. You know, this isn't, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, ending violence against women and girls, you know, but the experience of, you know, victims, you know, while they read about it, their experience, they're thinking, well, what's people doing about it? And the most recent one was, and this is in the public domain, it's a court case that just ended only a month ago, but, you know, where a multiple rapist, you know, that has been convicted of rape, is able to then engage in a campaign against another victim that has had the courage to go to the PSNA to report it. And there's so many don't, as you know. On the back of that, the person got charged with four different offences. So they're all criminal offences. But his case ends up in the magistrate's court, right, but the maximum is a 6-month sentence. Of course, it's not even going to go that far. And he gets a £250 fine for each offence. You know, so that just doesn't affect the victim. It affects the whole community that, you know, finds out about this and reads about it. You know, so where's the deterrent? You know, now that's the PPS, so there's no confidence, you know, in the PPS or the criminal justice system to deal with these issues. You know, and that's why they become more prevalent, you know, and people have it somewhere in the back of their heads that they can get away with it. 24 women dying over a period of time. The vast majority were mothers. The vast majority were killed in their own homes, murdered in their own homes. And the vast majority were murdered by people they knew. You know, those are the stats. But there's other people, so many other people, that are fortunate enough that they weren't killed. You know, but people who have the potential to kill them are going through a system where they are being dealt with so leniently. You know, and, you know, it's very frustrating and very difficult because as elected reps, we end up speaking to a lot of the victims that maybe didn't get the opportunity to speak to yourselves or academics that are putting papers together, but are speaking to us on the ground. And we end up against a brick wall, you know, because it's, you know, we can't change the system if people that work within the system don't see this themselves. And there's other simple things, very simple things. I'm on the PCSP, and, you know, we've been speaking about this for years. You know, for example, a victim arriving into the Ardmore station in Uri, which looks more like a conflict barracks, right? So they arrive into it. Even if they haven't been assaulted, if they think there's the potential of them being assaulted, they have to speak in public in front of other people exactly what the issue is, because there's no privacy. No small, simple steps, you know, that have yet to be addressed by the, either the PSNI or by the criminal justice system, you know. And that's just one perfect example of why people's confidence is just through the floor with the criminal justice system.
Issues that you would like us to bring to the attention of other partners in this work, please, you know, let us know about those, because part of our job is joining up the different parts of the system. And I think it is very, very difficult to look at the awful problem that's going on and not to say this is the only thing that we should focus on. And I think that having the two strategies allows us to say we're focusing on this and we are also focusing on action. But I absolutely hear what you're saying and know some of the horrific stories that people have told us. And also we had two pieces of, we wanted to go out to get as wide a range of experience as possible. There's two reports on our website, one which is the voices of women and one which is the voices of girls. Some of the things that they're telling you are the really important in people's lives. And to do what we can in a single sector of society to stop it.
I need to press that. Sorry, thanks. No, I was just going to say exactly as Claire was saying, to completely acknowledge what you're talking about, and we've heard it in the co-design space, and we've discussed it with PSNI, with the justice system representatives, with DPS. And we've talked to people who recognise those issues, and our next steps, I suppose, are how we address them together. And we've obviously come to this as we're starting from scratch. One thing that we're doing with the justice system at the minute is looking at the justice journey, and what we're bringing to that, they're looking at it from all people travelling through the justice system. We're looking at it from a women and girls perspective. So we will talk to women and girls who've been through that system and hear their journeys and what it is they need on the way to support them, to keep them engaged when they feel like they can't go on. Examples, as you've said, where they go into a court space and they're faced up with the perpetrator in front of them, shouldn't happen. But there should be options for them, places for them to keep safe. They should have a good understanding of what's happening at any one time. We know the technical language in the court system completely throw vulnerable women and girls who are passing through this system. So it's something we're looking at. That's one piece of a very big jigsaw that needs to be addressed, but it's looking at trying to build that confidence in the system and let women and girls feel like they are being listened to, looked after, and helped through that system so that they get a better result from it.
Um, Firstly, I suppose just to say thank you so much for your presentation, and I think it is an issue that particularly, I suppose, following, I know certainly I work between you in South Belfast, the murder of Mary Ward and the attacks in Derry that we've seen. I think there are a lot more women now. I would guess, and I know certainly anecdotally, be that myself out running or friends walking home from a night out, particularly now coming into the dark evenings, that are really feeling unsafe when they're out. And I'm sure other women here who are out at night time. What I'm asking, in terms of the, I guess, the local grant scheme that's going to be delivered from April 2025, is there anything that we can direct people to in terms of resources now? And I know, obviously, we can go through PCSP and all of those things, but I think, and it might just be the time of when the strategy has come out, that it is darker in the evenings. In that sense, is there any recommendations as councillors that we can give to people who potentially are feeling unsafe, or any resources that are out there? Because obviously there is funding that's due to be delivered with ourselves. I guess, is there any way to speed that up? And then I'm going to do two. So. But just in terms of the education piece around that, and I think it is really important, as you said, that is, unless you build from the bottom up and actually put in place proper education on relationships between women and girls and ways for women, I guess, to spot signs of misogynist behaviour and all of those things. Are there any resources that you might be able to share with us in terms of, as a council group, that we can put out on social media or that kind of thing? Just so, I think it is something that's really important that we make sure it's highlighted and that it's visible, because I think that is the first step to prevention, is knowing that actually that kind of behaviour is absolutely not acceptable in a society, and we're all in a position to be able to do that.
Ben to talk about grants, and Jane to talk about resources. The short answer to both is that we're at the start of a journey here. We want to work with you in developing the. It's our job to coordinate, to join up, to make sure that everybody has sight of everything that's going on. But we don't have a unit in TEO which is sitting writing resources, because that would be wrong. We have an expert community and voluntary sector, and Strand 2, we want them to deliver more of the good things they deliver, which includes education for women and girls, about how to be safe and feel safe everywhere, also about safe and healthy relationships. We also want our young men to be safe and to be safe to be around, and there's a big education piece there. For schools, but not just for schools, also for communities, for community groups, and for supporting families. And you know the way that council is involved in that at the very grassroots, and the opportunities that there are for you to work with the sector, to bring the people who have knowledge in, and to, you know, we know that young people, for example, won't. We heard that at festivals, if a young person is assaulted at a music festival, they won't tell a police officer because that's embarrassing. They will tell a youth worker. They will confide in the one safe adult who's their sports coach. So let's make sure that those people have the skills and the knowledge to signpost those young people. Finn, would you like to come in on grants, and then Jane on education assets and campaigns?
Just on the grants, which momentum funding is allocated this year. Everything's running in parallel, so the approvals are in place, but we're working with council officials to develop what we can do this year, and there's funding available for that. That's about building capacity in the community, as Claire said. There's the opportunity to get the message out there here about the prevention outcomes. We don't want to focus on putting any kind of emphasis or responsibility on a woman to have to protect herself. It should be about the root causes of why this is happening in the first place, rather than having any kind of responsibility associated with the victim. So there's an element there of funding to build the capacity in the sector about why this is happening in the first place, and where safe spaces can be, and how you can make yourself a safe space on your organisation, safe spaces. So then next year, when the funding comes forward for the local change fund, hopefully community groups will be in a position that they can apply for that funding to build on it. But because they'll understand the root causes and how to target their participants in their groups and how best to get that message out there.
So just to mention about campaigns and resources, you said it's really important that people know about this. It's absolutely the campaign you saw a bit of in the presentation there will be the first that will come out in January. And that's about starting the conversation and getting it out there that people are taking notice and resources for people to help them deal with that. We've had some really good work with young people across the whole of the region around putting that campaign together, but also they've been building a 10-point toolkit for young people to deal with ending violence against women and girls, which we're going to help them create into a package and be able to circulate around different youth settings, whether that's schools or youth groups and such like. So 100% that's the kind of a starting point for us in terms of getting the message out there. Our next campaign, I think Claire mentioned, is going to be coercive control, and that's about helping people understand how to start that conversation where, you know, it's a really difficult one. We know for a fact that people are going through it and don't know how to begin to even have a conversation with a GP or a social worker or a friend. And we want to look at ways to help people to identify and articulate that as a first point and then provide the resources for how they take action and support them in that. So it's the beginning of that, and we will continue to do it. And we are very open, and again, we've said earlier about Gary and his campaigns and his resources and how we can help each other in getting it further and into the grassroots of community so that they know how to access it and they know where to go to get help.
Thanks, Sir Lewis.
Thank you, Chair. Just to start by thanking you for that very detailed and informative presentation. I have three kids, one boy and two girls, and it really annoys me when people often say that my son will be the next Clive Group counsellor, because he definitely won't be. I can see it being my wee girl, you know. But at the same time, having seen what other female counsellors go through, not just in this chamber, but in other chambers, it terrifies me that she may have to be in that situation, from unwanted phone calls to text messages to the rampant abuse that people feel that they have a right to level at female counsellors. When I first started work, I worked on the door of a local nightclub, and some of the behaviour which we seen was abhorrent. Some of the way that sort of young men think they can treat women, what they can say to women, it's totally disgusting, and it genuinely fills me with fear that my two kids will have to go through that. Over this last year, there's been 22,000 reports of violence and women of offences recorded. That is unbelievable. If that was any other designated group, it would be seen as an epidemic, which we would need urgent. Urge action on, and we do need to sort of attack this at all levels, be it a complete and utter change in the attitude of people. And I used to often think that I'm not going to comment on this because I am a man, I am a male counsellor. However, it's right that everybody gets involved, in this conversation and does their part in it. And on that, I would just like to just recognise the work that our own PCSP does, that sometimes this work takes place, and because it sits outside council, we don't really recognise that, we're not involved in it, but they have been doing a lot of fantastic work for years on this, and my two questions would be, have we identified who the experts will be? Because I'm involved with the victims sector, and there's sometimes an ability to pump money and funding of these things first without actually putting the sort of the building blocks in place first. So it's just to see what work has been done. So once we get the funding, that can start. And secondly, yes, we can all give a great talk, great speech. We can give a glossy sort of leaflet on it and booklet, and that's definitely not to try to be a little what I need to have done, but to ask what actual on the ground work is being done to sort of progress an urgent strategy to get in there, as other councillors have them said, to urgently change the mechanisms. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Councillor, for that very wide-ranging speech, which managed to hit, I think, all six of our objectives, because we have a blueprint, and sitting with a small team at the centre of government, it's very daunting to look at the breadth of the problem and to say, you know, the ocean is so big and my boat is so small. But that's why we say it's a whole of government, a whole of society response. And in relation to your second question about the urgent action that is going on in every sector, we're eating this elephant one bite at a time. And there are things that we are, as Jane has said, My Justice Journey, which is a resource asset for victims, an evaluation that we're doing of a scheme that Belfast Women's Aid ran to support victims through the criminal justice society, or through the criminal justice process, which had a really remarkable effect on desistance and on people staying the course and finishing their case. Where one of the reasons that we're coming out early to councils is that you know what's happening in your communities, and you know this, the rubber doesn't hit the road until there is a day in the local civic centre, or in a local church, or in a local business of some kind, where people who have a domestic abuse problem can come, they can talk to police, they can talk to housing executive, they can talk to benefits, they can talk to education, all in the same place. And I think is that one of the things that you're planning? You know, and we can't deliver that in every town in Northern Ireland, but councils can. You know, we can't go to a youth club in a village in Newry, Moore and Down district and give a talk. And anyway, I would be terrible at giving a talk to a youth club. I mean, I know my limits, but you know, we know that there are local organisations like Newry Women's Aid or CCC, other organisations are available, you know, who will talk to young people in those communities. And that's why we want to join up with you, because I think it's easy to say, oh, well, there's this strategy up at Stormont and it's up here in the ether somewhere. We need you to help us connect it to the grassroots. You also, that was your second question, I think, and your first question was...
Who the experts are?
So we've...
Yeah.
And the answer is we've identified who some of the experts are. At a Northern Ireland level, across the north here, we ran a co-design process with over 50 people, community and voluntary sector, academic, business sector, and public sector. And there's expertise in all of those places. We talk about three kinds of expertise.
Yeah.
There's expertise by lived experience, there's expertise by service provision, and there's expertise by study. And we need all of those kinds of expertise in the room. Now, in terms of the expert community and voluntary sector, we can't talk about who is involved in the Strand 2 application yet, but then would you like to talk about the criteria that we had for inviting someone to make a Strand 2 application?
Grant schemes, but microphones are beyond me. So yes, we're working with through the co-design. We already have connections and established a really good idea of what the landscape is in Northern Ireland. And there are lead organisations who you will be household names in this area who we want to work with, and they're already delivering programmes. They're already lobbying for ending violence against women and girls, and they're already in this space. And we have invited them to put proposals into us to up to the amount that we can fund under the regional. And I'm sorry, I'm being a bit vague, but I have to get all my approvals in place. And we had a very successful assessment panel today as well, going
which
through,
which
you haven't reviewed yet. So the process is kind of working in parallel, but what we're hoping and can see happening already through the proposals that are coming in is that those groups can provide support for some of the local councils as well. So when you're asking about resources and signposting and that, we will have that kind of overarching regional support of organisations who deliver throughout the whole of Northern Ireland. And that then can filter down into the support that's provided into the local communities, because they'll have plans to work with each local council area. And that, but the problem is, as you say, it's an urgent response that's needed. So the momentum funding is there available for councils this year, and they can use that to see how best to react to the urgent and emerging issue, or not emerging, it's been going on for quite a while, but the local emergency response really that's needed at the minute, and how your local area is already ready to address this, because there's some community and voluntary organisations might want to do something, but they don't have the capacity at the minute to do it, so that funding can be in place to support them to get that capacity to do the things. So
I suppose was just that, again, from what I know of the proposals that come in, it really does, it fulfills on the range of age groups, from preschool to older age groups through school, secondary, post-primary school, young adults, families, all the way through, which is great to see. There's provision there that's really looking to serve every need. And we took the approach, we were told to take the approach for co-design from an intersectional perspective also, so those who have multiple needs and barriers to getting services, and that's included too. So we've done our best to really engage with those groups, because through our relationships with them, to bring about as broad a spread as we can.
Councillor Young.
Thanks, Chair. Just want to say thank you very much for the presentation. I don't have any questions, more or less comments, and quite like Councillor Lewis, I'm thinking on a personal level here. So we've had conversations. I have four sons who are in their 30s. I have 8 grandchildren, and 5 of those are small girls. And I really welcome this, because I'm just hoping that by the time, you know, they're up and independent and out, that things will have changed. The statistics for the last 4 years are absolutely horrendous, and particularly in the last number of weeks, the news, you know, the cases that have been to the forefront, and listening to Declan's and Aoife's contributions as well, you know, it's really time that this is being addressed. And I know that there is work to do to get it right, and we all have to work together. My sons, we've had conversations, and also I've had conversations with other men that I know, and they're saying that, you know, when they're out in the evenings and going home, and they're, you know, coming across a girl who's walking home, that they're practically, they're walking over the other side of the street, because they're petrified, they're frightened of, you know, what this girl is maybe thinking, that she's potentially in danger. One of my sons says, if he's coming, he's saying, oh, you all right, and things okay, and are you okay, and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that that's the situation that we're in now. That, you know, and it's so important that we are, you know, educating our boys and our girls, you know, and our adults, male and female, about that, you know, healthy, respectful relationship. So I very much welcome the strategy. I know that there is a lot of work to be done, and it's vital that we all work together to get it right. And I just hope that when my five gorgeous granddaughters are up, that things will be different and times will be safer for them. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. And I don't think I need to add anything to that except just to pay tribute to everyone who has lived experience, who's speaking into the debate, and to everyone who has family and who's trying to bring up the family the right way, because it's with allies, both male and female, to change this. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair, and thank you for this evening. Claire, you may not remember me, but last year around this time we were at the Ulster University for the UNIS Award ceremony. It's actually, I think, 5 days before now, 23rd of November last year. You stood up and spoke at the event. But one thing that did live with me from that award ceremony in my role as deputy chair in that year was the wording of onus. The onus is on all of us. And that certainly has lived with me from that event and from getting to know more about the organisation. I'm sure we all could give examples, and Councillor Murphy and Councillor Finnegan did share those, and I certainly would agree with Councillor Murphy's view of, you know, the system is letting people down. And one example that I have had, and, you know, we're not trained professionals in this environment, you know, and we're getting presented with scenarios, and many of us are trying our best, and we reach out for guidance from others who are professionals whenever we're presented in this. But the example that I wanted to share was, there's a young girl who was in a violent relationship, and she reported it and she left that relationship. But the issues only got worse because she started to get stalked. She was frightened to live in her own home. She moved back in with her parents, but the stalking continued. And actually, I reached out to our local PCSP around equipment, you know, dummy cameras, or what could they do, get the door bolts so that they would feel safer. So certainly I want to echo Councillor Lewis's, you know, Martina and the team have been fantastic at that time when the situation had happened. But that's just one example, and I'm sure you can think of many of examples that you have heard. But one of my questions that I had is, from the research and from the information and stats that you have, how long are women and girls actually experiencing violence? You know, is there women and girls that are in a marriage or relationship or whatever the scenario can be? It can even be a family member where the violence is. Is it for a long period of time? Is it they're not, that they don't know that they should report it, or they don't know the information that they need? And where do we as elected representatives with officers have a responsibility, and how can we get that information out? Because sometimes people are ashamed that they're in this scenario, but it's breaking down that stigma to say, do you know, what you are experiencing is wrong, and you need to speak up about that. So that's one of my first questions. My second question is, there's many strategies that come out, and we talk about strategies day and daily. And even at one point in this council, I lost count of many strategies we had at one point. But what do you measure is the impact? How do you say that the strategy that you've came up with is successful? What are you measuring your success on? Is it that the number of those that are reporting that they are in this situation to the police service or whatever service it will be? Where do you see and measure that impact? My third question, it may be related to item 4 that's on the committee agenda, is We see the change fund and the local grant scheme and the regional grant scheme. What level of funding are we talking about? Is there going to be a set band within that funding that we're able to give out to organisations? And then my next question is, you're obviously connecting to us as councillors and as a council, but what are you doing to connect with schools, to libraries? You know, a library can be a safe space. I am on the board of the libraries and we do work in partnership with a number of government departments. But what is it that you're doing to connect with libraries? Because there is, you know, an older population there that you can tap into who could be in a situation that we've talked about today. So, again, I'm sure we all offer our full support as much as we can to help tackle this blight that is on our society and try and improve the society that we're in. And hopefully from today and from the information that you're providing us that we can have a positive impact. So thank you.
What a huge list of questions, and I hope that I'll do them justice. The first question you asked was about what can elected representatives do to help. A number of you have spoken to me about constituency matters that have come to you. And I think that as a council, making sure that you all have the information about signposting, about organisations, and are connected with the organisations that are in this council area. I was very, and this is again where you're in a different position to us, because we're sitting at the centre and you're on the ground. When I went to get my COVID vaccine a couple of years ago, I asked everybody curiously, what would you do if somebody disclosed to you that they were in a violent relationship? And the pharmacist was in a chain of pharmacies, and she said, well, actually, we have a policy on that. And said, I know that the thing that I have to do is to take the lady into my consulting room so that I know that she's safe, or the man, because it could be a man, but she's a woman. And said, and then there's a phone number that I ring. And there's an officer there who knows what to do. And I thought, what a great thing to do. It gets away from that problem of the pharmacist who's on wasn't at the training or doesn't know. But they've thought about the situation that they face, and they've thought about a way of making sure that that helps in place. So there's maybe something there for council to think about. The other thing that I would say that we learned early in this process is look after yourselves as well. Because when you hear lived experience, it takes a toll. And just being trauma-informed is a really important part of making sure that you are continually able to give people the help that they need. And, you know, when I hear some of the things that counsellors deal with and the relentlessness of it, just do think about how you support yourselves and support each other in it. The second question you asked was about measurement. This is one of my favourite questions, because how you measure things, how you prove impact. So we have three levels. At a project level, we want projects which come through the Change Fund, like other projects, to be using. We have a kind of a Scandia menu of, I don't know if anybody remembers a Scandia restaurant in Belfast. Years and years ago, yes, I've heard of it, but I've never seen it because I was too young. Anyway, the Scandia had a big, long menu, and you chose things off it. We have a menu of measurements that you can use. And if everybody is using from that menu, the idea is that they will join up and we'll get an idea of the impact. And we've said, look, these have to be simple. These have to be something that a small organisation could do that's not going to be onerous, but that will measure impact at a project level. At a society-wide level, we know that the statistics aren't complete. We know that we don't have a prevalence measure in Northern in any part of the UK. We know that the Republic of Ireland is trying to develop a prevalence measure, but it's a big ask. So we're using police statistics as a proxy measure. Are the crime rates, are the reporting rates going up and down? We know that's not perfect. But we have put an attitudinal module into the Young Life and Times Survey and the Northern Ireland Life and Times Survey. We're going to run that every 2 years. And that's asking not just questions about what you think, But the statisticians tell us that you get a good sense of people's attitudes if you ask them what they think other people think. Do you think that people here think that the problem is getting worse or better? Do you think that people here think that catcalling is okay as a behaviour? And so we've got those two measures at a society level, proxy for prevalence, which is the best we can do, and a start at attitudinal baselining, which we've done and which we can measure from. Then on a project level, we want people to measure in a common way so that we can aggregate for impact. The third question you asked was about funding. Finn, you were going to deal with that.
So yes, the idea what we tried to capture in the funding plans is the idea that everybody, there is something that everybody can do. So there's, in the local change fund, we're asking each individual council to operate their own grant schemes depending on what they need in their council areas, but overall have an offering of three tiers of funding. So the first tier is between 1,000 and 5,000, and that's aimed at very small organisations who want to get involved and want to do something that mightn't have a lot of background in this area. And that might be one-off events or awareness-raising events. The idea is getting involved. Then there's a second tier of funding that's between 5,000 and 15,000, and that would be for more planned activities and prolonged activities. And the idea is that there are organisations out there who are in this space and are more knowledgeable and can spread more of the awareness raising and the preventative measures that we're hoping to achieve. And then the third tier of funding is between 15,000 and 25,000, and that's very much what's happening, similar to tiers too, but with an added dimension of collaboration and mentoring, and that's intended to recognise that not everybody, you know, not every group is ready to do this or ready to deliver it, but with the assistance of a larger organisation, they could. Funding isn't enough for the tiers that are there. It's a start, and we would hope that this would continue over the 7 years of the strategy. But at the minute, there's an allocation to each council area, and each council is being asked to determine how much of that allocation suits their council to go either more towards tier three kind of organisations to build the capacity in the whole community and voluntary sector, or more towards the tier one organisations and trying to get that widespread message out there of every organisation ready for that. So it's really fitting that in with what you're council is doing already in terms of the grant scheme and what your community and voluntary sector need to build and mobilise the sector to address this with their community.
Thanks, Finn. I'm going to answer one more of your questions and then pass on to Jane to answer the final one. In terms of the number of how long women suffer, now, there's no official statistic on this. FOIL Women's Aid did some research, and they said it was 37 incidents before a woman left on average. Now, we know that from lived experience that sometimes it's less and sometimes it's more. We heard from a very brave mother and daughter in one of our public focus groups. Daughter had been in a coercively controlling relationship while she was at college for 18 months before she confided in her mother. What her mother said was nobody told her that that's not normal. But at the same time, we hear from older women of friends who have lived in a coercively controlling relationship, friends who haven't had their troubles to see their whole life, and they never leave. And the last thing I'm going to say is to tell you about a story that happened to me. I used to be a barrister many years ago. I did 11 personal protection orders for a lady. First 10, she said she was going back to him because she loved him. The 11th one, she said she was going back to him because he had a job and she didn't have a job. She had rent to pay and she had two children to feed. She didn't have a choice. So that's one of the things that has lived with me for 30 years, was I ask, how do we make this better? How do we change the story for all of those women, and the key for each of them is going to be different. But the key might be in one of your hands, or in our hand, or in the hand of criminal justice system, in the hand of a police officer, in the hand of a librarian, in the hand of a youth school teacher, in the hand of a GP, which is why we need all of those people. Jane, do you want to talk about schools and libraries?
Yes, so just quickly, but what we're working on is what we're calling our sectoral groups, and bringing together people who have a particular interest. So, for example, we've got Safer Socialising, which involves the likes of Hospitality Ulster, SIA, Security Industry, Transport, you know, looking at taxis, how people get home, buses, and all that type of area of work where women and girls socialise, obviously in a normal sense, but how do we keep them safe? We've got forums around education, which is about looking at how we do better in terms of informing our young people to know what this is about and how to be in this space and how to make it their lives safer. Also in workplace, we've got a really strong connection with LRA, Labour Relations Agency, who are leading on that work in policy in those spaces. So we're literally, I suppose, just to give you a feel for, we're looking at every area of life and every sector, sports, youth. How can we support the people who can make the difference in those areas? Because I think, as Claire said, we can't do all of this. We need the people who are already involved in those areas to make those that possible for whatever age group, whatever demographic is in that space. And we're supporting them to bring a group together to really work up an action plan so that we can actually do things and look at what we're doing to bring about change. We don't want talking shops. We don't want meetings for meeting's sake. We need groups of people who have an interest in bringing about change. And I would say so far we very much have that. Those people who are coming to those groups are committed to seeing how they can make a difference to women and girls in the arena that they work in. We have, from our co-design, formed what we're calling an insight and reference network, and that involves really all of those sectors, including lived experience, very importantly, that we will continue to draw on as the strategy rolls out and as we move forward. We'll be looking to those people to support these different areas of work so that we have the right people in the room to make the change.
And Councillor Lee Sergener.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you so much for the presentation tonight. I suppose, as you've identified, there's like loads of different avenues that have led to violence against women and girls. I suppose I'm just zoning in to our young people that probably are feeling, especially the young boys, I suppose, that currently don't feel that they have a voice. And there's a global shift. I've noticed there's a global shift towards misogyny. So much so that I've ever heard a bunch of teenage boys. I'm hoping they didn't quite understand the circumstances and with the current election and stuff like that. But I've noticed that they were being very vulgar towards a teenage girl one day. So much so that I had to sort of explain to my son, who's 7-year-old, the proper code of behavior and conduct, especially what is it to be a gentleman, so to speak, in the modern world. Because he was overhearing these conversations as well, and these teenage boys had no problem voicing their inner thoughts, you know. And you sort of see on social media as well, like on TikTok and Facebook and Twitter, that they're very open of how they treat women and girls. So I was just wondering, because of this ever-changing, ever-evolving situation that we have, and we will have a strategy, which is a 7-year plan, is there certain deadlines or key stages that you would like to see that us in Stormont or council here to achieve?
whether it's like stage one is to tackle the schools and sort of give talks or that sort of thing, or, you know, that sort of like milestones helps.
Thank you very much, Councillor. It's a great question. And you note, so the risks to young boys in this, which are enormous. And we know as well that this is something which is being pushed to them by people who do not have their best interests at heart. But we also know that young boys are very vulnerable to this. We heard of a school in Belfast where pupils, the male pupils, tell their teachers that they don't have to listen to them because they're only women. So for us on that specific issue, we have a Healthy Relationships Forum chaired by the Department of Education, and we're working with Ofcom in terms of online. We know that it's a UK-wide matter and also an EU matter to deal with the internet service providers and with social media platforms. But what we can do locally is to teach our young people to be critical consumers of what they consume online and to be smart, because nobody likes to be made a fool of. In terms of key stages and measures, we are our first 16-month plan, our first delivery plan, which is outside, has got a number of actions on it which are really test and learn. So we're seeing what works. We're trying to mobilise sectors to get those sectors to take actions, to do things like our change fund. And then we evaluate those to see what's working. And the head of the civil service, as you know, is someone who's from the private sector. She believes in fail fast. If it's not working, you do something different. But we believe that the things we have got will work, and that therefore we can evaluate them as we go along and do more of them. We're going to have to be agile because, as you say, situation also changes, you know, and changes very fast. But we hope that this will allow us to be responsive, and that also by working sectorally, working with local government, working to the people with see the situation on the ground, we can be responding to today's problems and not to 10 years ago's problems, which have finally filtered their way up on the hill. So.
Just in terms of that, talking about the different stages, what we want to do is reinforce the messaging throughout the whole of society. So while we've got regional organisations who are developing messaging for the schools, and it's given children, it's given their teachers and their parents the language to speak around this and the messaging, and then the go out into the youth clubs and their youth leaders are saying the same thing, and maybe their sports coaches are saying the same thing. So we are trying to kind of hit everybody at the same time, and then as this develops and we've got the awareness raising and we've got that messaging out there, we can start to identify gaps in terms of specific targeting as well, and we can target the funding towards those. So what we want is this messaging to come from every angle, and it to be reinforced from every angle. Young people are the target audience for a lot of the interventions.
Thanks very much for your time tonight, coming down to the presentation and taking the questions from answers on the floor here. We're glad to know that's all we need. See you, folks. If it's okay with everybody, we'll take a couple of minutes. You pack a cup of tea. the partnership with the Executive Office to help end violence against women and girls. And that's with Gary.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, lead members. Just before I move on to that, I think from a council position, I just wanted to address some of the points that were raised earlier. In the context of prevalence, when you talk about the prevalence of this type of thing, they do a police and crime survey in England and Wales that would say that only 1 in 5 of all cases of sexual offending ever gets reported to the police. So that probably gives a better context of what that looks like in Northern Ireland. This is a man's problem. It's a man's problem that impacts on girls and women. And an example of that is we're running a social media campaign over Christmas about safe spaces for women. And one of the issues that came to light was we were looking at drink spiking. And it's so easy to fall into the trap of saying, actually, show a picture of a girl putting her hand over a drink. But that's not the right way to go, because it's actually about the men that are putting the drugs in the drink to do that. So it's about that shift and thought process for us as professionals, as much as it is in the context of the hearts and minds that you want to change across society. Just in relation to, I think, I remember if it was Councillor Sharvin or not, but actually the council website has some good support material on there around safety planning for people who want to leave abusive relationships. My number's on there as well, and I'd be available for any council that wanted to get any advice from me around what this might look like for them. And I think, certainly for me, when we look at what we're about to talk about now and the funding aspect of it, this is an opportunity for change, and that it provides council for you as elected members and for us as an organisation to increase awareness and affect change in this area. So just to move on then and deal with the paper to present to you today, and I'm going to try not to duplicate anything or too much of what the Executive Office have covered in their previous one. The Ending Violence Against Women and Girls strategy came in on the 16th of September of this year, and it includes a delivery plan 2024-2026. That plan on a local level for us as a council is about supporting organisations in the work and that prevention piece around changing attitudes and behaviours and that culture that leads to violence against women and girls. Obviously, one of the key elements of that delivery plan is around that financial support coming from the Executive Office in collaboration with council to get it out into community groups and to drive that change forward. So the Executive Office actually sought out council support through the Senior Officers Group, the SOLAS Group, and there is a small subgroup working within there as well to try and create a consistency across all councils as well. The key issues for us within Newry Morning Down is two elements to it. There is a £65,000 interim momentum fund, and then there is the £135,000 grant scheme for year 25-26. So just to make sure you're aware, the interim momentum fund, the £65,000, is an in-year spend for this year. And this is about trying to look at what's already happening, what's happening in our areas, and what are council doing already with groups that can either be built on or supported or added to in order to affect change in this area and increase awareness in that messaging around ending violence against women and girls. The grant scheme moving into next year is more focused on actually that community piece where community groups are actually delivering that change. My council will support that around a framework around what that looks like in the context of assessment of what the schemes might be and then putting a value on that. That's still in the process of being worked out around exactly what that framework would look like, and there's a lot of work to do on that moving into next year. As the Executive Office already said, the outcomes are around changing attitudes, behaviours and culture, healthy, respectful relationships, and women and girls feeling safe, and they are safe and feeling safe everywhere. So for us within the organisation, within this year's spend around the Momentum Fund, we have come up with some ideas, and again, I don't want to sound vague on it, but none of this is set in stone. It's all in a sort of development stage where we're trying to work out how best we might be able to support our communities with this money. So for the in-year spend for the Momentum Fund, which is, they're all a priority, but this money needs spent in-year on behalf of council. So it's not something that we can leave into next year and catch up on it. So some of the ideas that we are working towards at the minute would be a conference in March that would be look at collaboration with the Education Authority and other party partners. And that's around focusing on key people within organisations and groups. So what I mean by that is rather than inviting a whole sporting team to come along, you'd be identifying coaches or leaders within those organisations to come to be part of that. And that's that educational piece around what this looks like. And I don't want to say train the trainer as such, but it's that educational piece to empower people to affect that change. Publicity campaigns, a bespoke publicity came with KLM to appeal to both young people and the general public. And I think the executive officer already alluded to that, and I think some of our councillors did as well. There's no point in talking to children in adults' language, so we have to develop a campaign that is focusing on children, that it's in the language and the type of programme that children will engage with, whether that is animations or whatever. So there's a piece of work to go on that. And that we were also thinking about maybe part of that focus on men rather than women, to say it's about men that need to change. A project focusing on local outreach and development support awareness raising sessions, and that will be done in conjunction with the DEA teams, and then a wider training and awareness initiatives in partnership with GP federations and other stakeholders as well around getting this message out there. Part of that would include using existing organisations that are delivering some of this messaging out. So for next year's challenge fund, the TEO have provided a general guidance book, sort of framework document really, which is very similar or set out in a similar format to the Good Relations financial support for applicants to help them in the context of the grant scheme. It's also helpful for us as a council as well to work out how that might look like in an application process and around our frameworks for supporting that money. As part of this process, in the context of the Momentum Fund and the ideas we've come up with and the Challenge Fund, we did actually meet with the Executive Office, including Fionnuala, on the 8th of November to outline the above, and they were in general agreement with those as ideas that would be supported in the context of that funding. So I suppose in summary, for me, this is about starting summer. I think this is a good news story. I think this is money that 3 months ago we didn't know was coming. And I think it's an opportunity for us to drive that forward with the support of you as elected members. And I think for me, the recommendation within the report is to say, actually, for you to note this and agree with the proposals set out as previously described. I think the only other thing for me to finish on is to say that as part of Council's ongoing work and Council Gilbrey's notice of motion, is that over the 16 days of action for ending gender-based violence and violence against women and girls, we've linked into the Executive Office messaging around that. And what we have is we have a meet and greet session. We are doing this in collaboration with the two trusts, actually, and ABC Council. I obviously work across both councils. So it's a collaboration as opposed to one leading and the other just following behind. So from a council point of view, we're doing one in Newry Leisure Centre on the 25th, which is actually the first day of the campaign, and one in Down Leisure Centre on the 26th, and then South Lakes Leisure Centre on the 27th. And this is a bit around meeting and greeting, raising awareness. There will be publicity around it, photographs taken to put on our social media sites. There's a press release going out. And it's just to say to members, if you wanted to come support, you'd be very welcome to come down and do that. It's not a drop-in session as such. It's a meet and greet, and there will be key partners there from lots of different agencies. And as people are walking in and out, we are basically engaging them and saying to them, are you aware of this problem? If there's an safeguarding board shopping bag, they can have one of those. Or if there's a pen from Women's Aid, they can have a Women's Aid pen. So all of those key partners will be there and sharing some merchandise with people as that engagement piece to raise that awareness of it, plus the social media campaign out the back door of that as well. And then we're following that up the following Monday with a There Is No Excuse campaign, which is basically focusing on women have the right to walk down the street, not because women have the right to go and have a drink. Women have the right to live their lives without being subject to misogynistic behaviour. And that will run from the following Monday. And you're going to ask me the date. I can't remember it off the top of my head. But so the 25 days of action, Monday the 25th, and the following Monday we're going to launch the social media campaign. And again, from a member point of view, if you could share that across your political parties and groups, that would be really appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks, Guy. Councillor Finnegan.
Yep. Just a few questions that I suppose is just a wee bit of clarity for myself. In terms of the £65,000, that's starting on Monday. I think it's important for us to know as councillors, where is the money allocated? Like, who is getting that? And yeah, just for clarification, where is that money going to? What's it going to deliver? And in terms of the 135,000, does it get applied for through council to community voluntary groups? And if that is the case, are we tying in with community groups that are on the ground? How's that consultation process happen?
Around the 65,000 for the Momentum Fund. That's obviously coming through from the Executive Office. We will then send them through our proposals, which would be the interim funding examples that I provided earlier. And then, subject to executive approval, then that money will be granted to us for us to deliver on that. And then, in relation to the 135,000 for next year, that will be an application process. And part of one of the things that we have discussed around that is supporting organisations in going through that application process and how they might apply for it.
Thanks for the feedback. So just in terms of your proposals, where do those proposals come from, and is that from community groups on the ground? And the application process for organisations, could you maybe narrow down organisations that, you know, might apply for that, just in terms of, so, I mean, for us as councillors, we need to be able to tell the groups that we work with that this is going to be available to them, so who will that be available to?
Martina, do you want
to? Yes, Chair, maybe just to clarify, the Momentum Fund, as Gary has outlined, I suppose whenever we met with the Executive Office officials, they very clearly talked about it in terms of it being an emergency response fund, so for Council to respond fairly quickly to the issues that are presented. Gary has outlined some of the potential ideas, and these are potential ideas, members, and you know, obviously we'd be happy to take on any feedback. So really this piece is around looking at raising awareness of AVAG and involving all of our partner agencies and stakeholders along with us, including Education Authority and other stakeholders, you know, who are actively working with young people and with other groups that we need to engage with. And some of this will be maybe some training and awareness raised for our own members and also then with key stakeholders, including GPs through the GP federations. The challenge fund then, the 135,000, will go out as a financial assistance call, according to our standard protocols. It will go out in call one, so you'll be aware, I suppose, in terms of the review of financial assistance, there is only one revenue call per year, so we are hoping that that will go out in January. So there is a bit of pressure, I suppose, in terms of drawing up the guidelines for the financial assistance call. The officials, our colleagues from the Executive Office earlier, did outline that there are three tiers that they have given us guidance on that we can allocate funds within. Our thinking is probably that we want to move towards the bigger grants to support organisations in this work, bearing in mind that within our PCSP and our community engagement financial assistance calls, that there is scope for groups to apply for smaller amounts of money to undertake some very practical initiatives in their communities, which we have already supported. But in terms of looking at how we raise awareness, and maybe for in terms of responding to Councillor Finnegan's query, we plan to do some awareness raising in the new year through our DEAs. About both the Challenge Fund and the Momentum Fund to encourage applications. We recognise it's a very sensitive subject for community groups, and we need to work with them to encourage appropriate applications to the Challenge Fund. So we will be looking to you as members for your support in raising awareness of that and through our GA4 and other channels as well.
I'm
happy to propose that. I'll take a seconder and then Councillor Lewis.
Yeah, I'm happy to second and also ask that it be noted that this was unanimously agreed by all members present, and it was just to thank Martina and our team for the work that has been going on, indeed. Harry there as well, and just to double check what the overall figure that will be actively going out in call one will be and what that funding stream will be called there, please.
Councillors, the value of the call for financial assistance is £135,000, and it will go out as a call specifically around EVAG, which is End of Violence Against Women and Girls.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks, Chair. I know I'm not a member of this committee, but I must say tonight's debate and contributions were very interesting, and I must say I would like to thank the officers, and I'd like to thank all concerned for pulling this all together and for representatives to come in and to do a presentation. And again, even though I'm not a member of the committee, I fully support and endorse the sentiments expressed by all speakers tonight, and I'm supportive of the move that this is seen as a unanimous measure of support for everybody involved. Thank you.
Thanks for that. Moving on to item number 5 is the action sheet from the last AHC on the 21st of October. We have pages 1, 2 and 3. If we have any questions, Councillor Hall?
I'm just happy to propose, Chair.
Have you a seconder? Councillor Jackson, second. Then moving on to item number 6, is the mid-year assessment of business plan with Andy.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, members will have the report there on decision time. It's just the assessment of the mid-year business plan. So happy to take any questions.
So Young.
Thanks, Chair. Not necessarily a question, Andy, but just a comment on page 5 of the mid-year assessment of the business plan in relation to community development. I'd just like to mention, in terms of the Ethnic Minority Support Centre, that this is such a valuable resource. I'm actually liaising with them at the moment regarding an issue in my DEA, and I'd just like to put on record thanks for their commitment in supporting individuals and families who are making their homes in this.
Okay, thanks. If we have a proposer and seconder, please.
Happy to second.
Councillor Young and Councillor Hall. Items 7 to 9 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3, part 1, schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland, 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Can I ask for a proposer and seconder to the closed session?
No proposal.
Mr. Murphy. And Councillor Lee Surgener. Committee, the following items were agreed. Item 7, funding from Department for Communities for the Frontline Advice Services. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Howe, seconded by Councillor Lee Surgener, to note the officer's report and agree to award additional funding as outlined within the officer's report from the Department for Communities, the Community Advice Newry, Mourne and Down, alongside funding for General's Advice Services for 2024-25. Item 8, the Play Park Review Strategy Business Case. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor McGuinness, seconded by Councillor Murphy, to approve the Play Park Review Business Case 2024 to 2029 and its proposed programme of works. Item 9, the leasing of council land. It was agreed on the proposal of Councillor Finn, seconded by Councillor Mathers, to approve proceeding with the EOI process for leasing as outlined within the officer's report, in accordance with the Council Sports and Community Facility Management and Leasing Policy 2016. Moving on to item number 10, the DEA Forums Update Report. That's with Ali. Or Regina.
Chair, the DA forum report is presented for approval this evening, and the associated action sheets with it.
Yeah, we have a proposer and seconder, please.
I propose.
Councillor Howell. Councillor Finnegan. And the last item, yeah, is for noting the neighbourhood renewal update report. Yeah, proposer and seconder. Councillor Young, Councillor Finn. On that note, thanks very much, everybody. See you at home.
Thank you all.